greatest people on earth, and I really mean the greatest people on earth. You are so wonderful. The Lord bless you today and use you and anoint you and make His face shine on you. Amen. All right. Great teaching again today. I don't want you missing not one session. Please with me, because this is so important, how to stay strong and to get stronger in these trying times. Hello to Zena, and hello to Jeremy and Kevin and Mary. Hello to Sunil and Daisy and Uma and Sangita. Please pray for my mom. She is in the hospital due to heart attack. Dear Lord, please touch her mama. In Jesus' wonderful name, Lord, we give you the praise. Amen. Wow. Hello to Marilyn. Thank you. She said, love, love, love from Indiana. I love it. Thank you. And hello to Denise. That's what I'm talking about, my dear, is how to stay strong in the Lord in these trying times. Because, and by the way, we will pray at the end. I see some of you are saying, please pray for my job, and I'm not well, somebody says. And so we'll pray at the end, and the Lord will always, as He always does, He answers prayer. Amen. All right, I'm going to shut my phone so no one will call me while I'm teaching. Because sometimes they do, you know. Lord, I thank you for what you are going to show us today. From your word, I pray, Lord, this will be crystal clear for your people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We are living, as you can see, in very trying times, and I think they're going to get worse. But how do we as believers live above that? Where not one thing can affect us spiritually, or mentally, or emotionally, or even physically. God gives us the answer in His wonderful word. So, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin reading at verse 24, which I read yesterday. But it says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So, our Christian life is compared to a building, building a structure in the natural. And what we need to do first is we need to have a deep foundation. Like I told you yesterday, the deeper the foundation, the higher you can go in any building in the natural. Well, the same thing with us spiritually. The deeper our foundation is, the stronger we are and the more we can handle the troubles of life. And the Lord says here, He says, this wise builder built his house upon a rock. Now, you know, I told you yesterday that Jesus is the foundation and Jesus is the rock. If you missed yesterday's teaching, please go back and watch it, because I gave you scriptures. But watch this. It says, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew. So here you see the storm of life beating upon that house. So all of us are going to go through the rain and the floods and the wind, and we will be beaten just like that house. But it says, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And again the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So now this is really important, because what the Lord is really giving us here is something so powerful and very important. Number one, He says, we have to hear the word. Well, you can't hear it with the ears of the flesh. We have to hear with the ear of the Holy Spirit Himself. He is the one who enables us to hear the word. That's why I suggest never get into the word till God Almighty has quickened the word to you. So mental knowledge is the beginning. But then wait till God quickens your heart when you begin to really hear. So meditation is very important when it comes to hearing the word. Here's how I do it. You know, I read the Bible and I divide the Bible into thoughts. Thoughts, not verses, but thoughts. Like I read one thought and then I stop. Example, I've shared this many times. But if you read the Bible, you see where thoughts change. Like in the book of Genesis from chapter 1 to 11 is really one thought. You can break it into two if you want to. But basically it's one thought. It's the history of man. Then you have the second thought beginning in Genesis 12. And that's the story of Abraham. From 25 on, it changes to another thought. Isaac. Then to 28, Jacob. Then from 28 on, the sons of Jacob, and then of course Joseph. So here's the whole book of Genesis, which I just gave you. I like reading it to where I divide the thoughts, or whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or the epistles. When you read, for example, when you read the book of Romans, you see some amazing things about that. He begins with chapter 1, and everything changes about chapter 8. From 8 to 12, it changes again. His thought changes. He begins to talk about new things, you know. Now, you can decide where you want to stop or how you see it. I see it quite simple. The minute he changes what he was saying, the thought changes. And then what I do is I go back and I read again that one thought. So I go back over it. So it's not good to rush through the Bible. Now, you know, I've been reading the Bible for, goodness gracious, so many years, since 1972. And prior to that, knew it in school, but, you know, I wasn't saved then. But now when I read it now, of course, it's all in me already. But I still go back and I see the thought of the word. And it just impacts me in a great way than I've ever known before in my life. That's what to hear the word means. So here the word isn't about, you know, listening to a preacher. No, Jesus said, everyone that hears these sayings of mine. So he is the one who's speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. The second thing we are to do is we are to know who's talking to us. So we must know the Lord who gave us the word. Because he said, the sayings are mine. Don't be listening to somebody else who doesn't know me. So when you know the Lord, everything he says gets in there real quick and fast and powerful. And then he said something else. He said, apply it. Well, you can't apply it in one day. That's just not possible. So we hear it. Like I told you how you do it. You get to know the Lord better through it, because that's how we know him. And the Holy Spirit reveals him through his word. And then you apply what he just told you to do. And the commandments of the Lord are not difficult, like the Bible says. That's how you build your life upon the rock. Now, the rock is built in your life. The foundation is built with your life. And I told you yesterday, when you go to Matthew 16, of course, you all remember, Matthew 16, 13 to 18 tells us how to build a foundation. You build a foundation by having a face-to-face encounter. Remember when the Lord came to Caesarea Philippi, he said to his disciples, whom do men say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist or one of the prophets. Who do you say I am? You're the Christ. That is the way we build our own life and foundation, because when Peter said those words in Matthew 16, he was standing face to face with the living Messiah. You cannot build a foundation until you meet the Lord one-on-one. Number two, Peter received a revelation by the Spirit that this is the Messiah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father. So the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit, reveals who Jesus is in our life. Number three, he acknowledged him. He said, you're the Christ. Number four, he acknowledged him publicly, meaning no shame. He wasn't ashamed to say the name Jesus. Today, people who are ashamed to say Jesus don't have the right foundation in their life. And so when the storms come, bang, they're gone. So you build the right foundation by building the relationship with the Lord himself, because he is the foundation. And Paul tells us there's no other foundation except the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:11. I give you all that. And also 1 Peter 2:6. Jesus is the foundation. And don't remember where the Bible says he is my rock. Psalm 18 verse 2. Psalm 62 2:6. So many scriptures says the Lord is my rock. So it's not Peter or something else. It's the Lord. When we build that foundation, upon that foundation we build what? What He says to us, His knowledge increases in us, we apply it. That is how you build the building on the foundation. So, now, the Bible says something else to us in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Because really, once you know the Lord, what you need to do is keep following what I just gave you from Matthew 7. You hear, you know, you act. You hear, you know more, you act. You hear, you know better, you act. Because now the foundation is in our life. But the foundation is only the beginning of our relationship with the Lord. It's not the fullness of our relationship with the Lord. So when I met the Lord in 1972, I had those things happen. I just showed you. I had a face-to-face encounter. The Holy Spirit showed me this is the Messiah. I acknowledged Him, and then I acknowledged Him publicly, and I'm still doing it. For the rest of my life, I will. But what is amazing is when that foundation becomes real solid, because that revelation is so real in my life of who Jesus is, as it is in your life, now we have to build on that foundation. And we build by hearing the Word from the Lord, knowing the Lord in a better way, deeper way, greater way, and applying what He tells us in our life on earth. Now, the Bible says in Acts 20, 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." You remember when the Lord shared with us the parable about the seed falling on four different grounds. He said the seed first falls on the side. The birds pick it up and eat it. Number two, it falls on where there's no depth. It doesn't last. Number three, it falls among thorns. And then it falls on good ground. So in life, here's what happens. People hear the gospel, and before they get a chance, the devil steals it. Now others, because there's no depth in their life, they lose it. Others, because of the cares of this life, and this is where the danger is for some of us that are still going on. Because see, those that heard the gospel, I have one cousin who heard the gospel before I did, but he didn't last. He was one of those on the rock, on the fence, who heard. It didn't last for more than a week. You know, everything okay down there? Wonderful. Because he's running all the technical stuff. Anyways, the second thing is, people with no depth. What does no depth mean? It means there's no knowledge of God in their life at all. There's no depth. There's no knowledge of God. They came from some life where there wasn't a whole lot there. You know what I mean? And it didn't last. It didn't take root in them. And I think there's more meaning to it that, you know, I don't have time to explain. But I want to focus on the third one. Because the third one began to bear fruit. Some at least fruit. But then the thorns choked all that life and killed it. So some believers may last in the faith for 5 years, 10 years, or even longer. And then one day they get so messed up with the things of life and distracted with the things of the world. And Jesus said what? He said the love of money and the love of this and the, you know, they get entangled in the affairs of this world. Paul said to Timothy, he said, a soldier cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life. And I just want to say one more thing. Paul said in Galatians, he said, Jesus came to deliver us from this present evil world. I want nothing to do with this present evil world. Nobody does who's a real Christian. And that's how we make sure we do not allow the world to have any space in our hearts and lives and minds. Sometimes, sadly, you know, we get maybe, you know, wrapped up in something that is emotional in some case, or maybe to do with our culture or with our life or our past or our family. But we wake up to it real quick. No, I don't want it. I don't want it, because we can tell it's going to poison our life in Jesus. So we refuse it. We reject it. It's happened to me many times. Things would happen with my family, my cousins, this, that. And I absolutely refuse to be involved. I don't want to be involved whatsoever. Because the second you pay attention to that, whatever they're trying to pull you into, it can mess you up real big and fast, and the thorns will show up in no time. So keep your grounds and territory clean from thorns. Thorns are the affairs of this life, or things to do with your job, or your money, or your family. And the people that have the most impact on us is the family. Our family can pull us away. The world tries to pull us away, and we say no to it. But you know, family, come on, please. It's your own, you know, flesh and blood trying to pull you away. But you still cannot allow it. That's why Jesus said, if you love father, mother, brother, sister, children more than me, you're not worthy to even be mine. So we have to focus on the Lord only. And that is the way we will survive. Because if the word of God is not in us, now, see what it really says here. It will build you and give you. The word is always, when we allow the word of God to build our life on the foundation, Jesus, we receive what? An inheritance. It says to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You know, my prayer always is, Lord, count me among the righteous. That is the answer on how to be counted among the righteous. That you will let the word of God build you and give you an inheritance among all them which are his, which are sanctified. So if you don't want to lose your place in Jesus, that's the way to do it. Is hear his word, receive his word, let his word build you up, and then that word will give you the inheritance. Isaiah 8 verse 20 says this. It says, if the word of God is not in you, and this is where, sadly today, that many people are going, it's because there's no light anymore in them. It says, to the law, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. The minute the word of God leaves, darkness gets in. There's no place, there's no such thing in the word of God as half middle ground. Like there's no gray area. It's or God or the devil, or light or darkness, nothing in between. So the minute you say no to the word, darkness sets in overnight, not in a week or in a month. It happens like this. You see, demons are ready to take over the territory they lost. Matthew 12 talks about how demons come looking for vacancy. And if they find vacancy, see, every one of us at one time had demons in us. You know, I'm not insulting you, that's just fact. Every unbeliever out there is taken over by the will of the enemy at any time he wishes. The Bible says it clearly in Timothy. Now, you and I were controlled one time by the prince of this world, the power of the air, the enemy himself. We were set free from the power of Satan when we got saved. Thank God for that. But you see, demons are territorial and they come back looking for vacancy. So, you know, a devil says, well, you know, let me go back and see if that guy I used to live in is still available. What is he looking for? The word. People think it's the gifts of the Spirit or something. No, no, no. Demons cannot enter where the word of God is. Where the word is, there's no devils. And the reason many Christians today have demons or harassed by demons, they just don't have the word in them. Quite simple, really, okay? Someone can have the gifts of the Spirit and lack the word and still have demons in him. No different than Balaam or Saul or others that were anointed, yet they had a demon. But the word of God, that's impossible to have a devil when the word of God is rich in your life. That's why it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing will offend them. The word of God is so powerful. He has magnified his word, it says, in the glorious. Okay, so God's word is our key to stay in the light, not in darkness. So no doctrine or practice or prophecy or revelation is to be accepted if it's not in full accord with the word of God. Anyone who comes to you with a doctrine or a practice or a prophecy or revelation, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, have nothing to do with it whatsoever, no matter what they say or do. So, because for anyone who speaks outside the word, he is speaking in darkness. I'm going to say it again. Anyone who speaks outside the word is speaking in darkness. He's not speaking light. Because wherever you find the word of God, you find light and you find the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God and the word of God are united. Here's what the Bible says in the Psalm. Psalm 33. This is so marvelous. And verse 6, it says this. Oh, I love the word. But the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, I'm reading Psalm 33, 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Notice is that God's word goes out of his mouth by his breath. Without the breath, the word cannot be heard. So God never said, read my lips. He said, hear my word. You know why? Because the breath has to carry it. Okay, let's just say somebody began moving their lips, but nothing was coming out. So I can sit here and go, nobody would know what I'm saying. Why? Because I'm not using my breath to deliver the word. It's my breath from my lungs that gets that word out. So it is with God. God never said, read my lips. So the word without the Spirit is read my lips. The word with the Spirit, hear my voice. Yay! Hallelujah. Because it's our breath that delivers the voice. If there's no breath, there's no voice. The Holy Spirit, oh, this is marvelous. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God, and through him the word comes into our hearts. So, if people seek manifestations of the Spirit, apart from the word, they're going to end up in fanaticism. They're going to end up in heresy. They're going to end up in foolishness. Because the word and the Spirit is what brings balance. I've always said, if you only have the word, you'll dry up. If you only have the power, you'll blow up. If you have both, you'll grow up. May I say it again? If you only have the word, you'll dry up. If you only have the power of God, you'll blow up. If you have both, you'll grow up. And we need to grow up, right? So, and to develop and grow in the word, we need the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide. Because the word, without the Spirit, so the word without the Spirit leads to deadness and powerlessness and religious formalism. So think about this. The Spirit or the power by itself leads to fanaticism and foolishness. The word by itself leads to religious formalism and legalism and no power. So we need both. So it's the Holy Spirit, who inspired the word in the first place. Remember what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, by inspiration of the Spirit. Or in 2 Peter 1:21, all happened by the inspiration. So the Holy Spirit, united with the word, builds that word in our hearts and lives. So when we read the Bible, we should not just read the Bible, we should just say, Holy Spirit, reveal the word to me. And so now we receive it. It's built in our hearts and lives. It gives us an inheritance and protects us from the madness out there that is going to continue going. One more verse before I finish, because I've got a lot more to talk to you about. Because see, this is a deep subject. We can't just rush through it, you know. I want to help you become strong and stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord. Look what it says in Psalm 12, verse 6. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So here we see the clay furnace. Here we see the silver. And here we see the fire. Let me repeat it. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. So, who is the clay furnace? We are. The human element. The silver is the word. The fire the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? And now we are read it again. The words of the Lord are pure words. His word is pure. A silver message, tried in a furnace of fire, tried in our life with fire. God purifies it 7 times. So when we receive the word of God, God begins to what? Purify us. We are the furnace of earth. He begins to purify us, and that word that is purified 7 times begins to affect our own life and heart. Because God Almighty amazingly uses our furnace, our human frailties, our human weaknesses. Through that, the word begins to change our furnace and build us up as a mighty army in God, giving us the inheritance. God's word, saints, is not only life-changing, it's destiny-changing, it's eternity-changing. It takes a furnace with frailties, fixes it all up, and now begins to build a new man out of that old body, a new life. And so the Bible says, even though our outward man is kind of falling apart, our new man is being renewed day by day. How? By the word of God. And when that word is in you, nothing. Great peace have they. Great peace have they that love thy law. And nothing will affect or offend them. Today we are living at a time when there's so much confusion, so much fear of the future, uncertainty that we've not seen in years. The love of many is gone, cold, hearts failing for fear of what could happen next. The situation on earth is so dangerous and so explosive. Many are saying it's going to lead to some massive global nuclear war if things don't change. And many people in the know are expecting it. And then they're talking about changes in the weather that are going to bring such destruction because of the fact the climate is changing and all that. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. The Bible says it's going to happen anyways. Devastation's coming. We've never even seen it in our life or ever in history. Yet those who know the word and those who are built upon the word and those who are building the word of God in them have nothing to worry about. We're going to continue talking tomorrow about Hebrews 4, because in Hebrews 4 there's a powerful revelation God gives us about God's word and how that is used in our life to stabilize us, to build us and protect us. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your people, Lord, with this word and message. I pray you will establish them in you. Nothing will shake them. Nothing will affect them. Nothing, in Jesus' glorious name. I give you praise. You know, when I'm done, maybe I'll do it even maybe day after tomorrow, maybe even tomorrow. I'm going to show you how to really study the Bible. I'm going to show you how I do it and how you can do it. That the word of God gets in you the way it should. Do not depend on others to give it to you. You can do it yourself. It's good to have the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. We need them all, because that's with what God's word says. We need them all. But if you're not receiving the word for yourself, you're lacking the best revelations. So make sure you do that, will you? All right, it's time to give to the word. Hallelujah declares, give it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give to your bosom. And the word of God also says, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine. And the word of God says, in due time you reap if you don't faint. So now as we give, we're simply obeying the word of God, and it's an act of worship on our part. Every time we give, we're telling Jesus, you're number one in my life and my finances. Every time you give, you're voting for the kingdom of God. Every time you give, you're worshiping the Lord. And every time you give, you're saying, Lord, I love you. Because giving is loving and loving is giving. So go ahead and love the Lord right now with your giving. And you can do it right there on our platform, Benny Hinn Ministries. Or simply go online to our website, BennyHinn.org. Or you can simply text BHM 45777, or just do it on the platform you're watching me on where it says donate. But you know, the simplest thing, you take your phone and you simply text BHM 45777. And one more thing quickly before I say bye. Anyone who asks you for money by sending you a message and says they're Benny Hinn, don't you dare believe it. They are just trying to get your money. If I'm going to ask you to give, it'll be me while with my face talking to you. With me, you can see me just like today. All right? So don't pay any attention to anything you get, any message on social media that somebody is in, what's the word, impersonating me to say that they are Benny Hinn. There's only one Benny Hinn and you're looking at it. Okay? Much love. I'll see you tomorrow. And remember, all is well. Stay strong in the Lord. Love you. Bye.